Good morning, welcome to the new Chevra. We are in the Haftarah Parshas Ekev. We're basically up to Yeshayahu, I think, Chaf. Yeah, so we'll discuss your test a little bit. So basically what's going on so far is that Yeshayahu is saying in the name of Hashem that despite the fact that Klal Yisrael are under the impression, or will be under the impression, that Hashem has forgotten them, the truth is that really they are, that Hashem could never forget Klal Yisrael, he would never actually forsake them. Now, we clarified that this discussion, Yeshayahu is speaking well in advance. Yeshayahu didn't just speak about the Churban HaBayis before, but he also spoke about the Nechama that's going to take place after the Churban HaBayis. So Yeshayahu is talking a couple hundred years before, and really perhaps thousands of years before the redemption actually takes place. So he spent the first half of the Sefer speaking a lot about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and then he transitions into, after that happens, Nachmu, Nachmu, Ami, there's going to be a consolation, there's going to be a comfort, there's going to be a return, there's going to be tshuva, and he's speaking prophetically. And we spoke in the context of our own avoda, what it means to have a nechama, what it means to have this Nachmu. You can find the other shiurim, send it to you, the Elson Hawaii Torah, just to be caught up. But the nechama, what makes it a nechama? What changes that allows us to have a nechama? And what are we supposed to do to be able to earn this redemption? So he starts off saying in the Haftarah, the first pasuk of the Haftarah is, Klal Yisrael says, Hashem has forsaken us, Hashem has forgotten us, and Yeshayahu responds in the name of Hashem, a mother could not forget its child, forget her child. And not only that, but even if a mother could have some cruel mother, as the Farshim say, a mother in the Achzaris, right? A cruel mother who forgets her children, but Hashem is not. There's no anomalies, there's no exceptions. It's Hashem, and Hashem does not forget Klal Yisrael. And then he starts speaking about how Hashem is mindful. The destroyed walls of the Beis HaMikdash, of Yerushalayim, of the homes of the Jewish people, they're before me always. We compared it yesterday to Shavit, Hashem Negdi Samid. We place God before us always. And Hashem says, I place the Chomosayich, the destroyed walls, I'm thinking about it constantly. That whenever we're suffering, because of a distance from Hashem, so we shouldn't think that we're the only ones suffering, that Hashem is suffering also, in fact, even more than we are. Hashem suffers from our distance, kaviyachol, the kaviyachol on Hashem suffering from our distance, also a kaviyachol, so to speak, more than we feel that pain. And then we started to speak about the tshuva that's going to take place, that there's going to be a returning to the land, returning to Eretz Yisrael, returning to Yerushalayim, but also returning to Hashem in terms of a tshuva. And then we send in your test, Kichor Vasayach, Vashem HaMasayach, the Eretz HaRisuseich. So the Churban and the decimation and desolation and the destroyed cities and the trampled parts of Yerushalayim. So Ki'ata, now Tatsrim Yoshev Rechachu Mevalayach. Now there's going to be like a pressure from settling. We're going to explain that momentarily. And the mivalayach, those who are boleya you, those who try to swallow you whole, are going to be distanced. And we mentioned that this is a phrase from Lecha Dodi. We're going to see over the next 6 weeks of the Shavu Nechamta, the seven haftaras following Tisha B'Av, there are a lot of phrases that Lecha Dodi is based on. And could be at the end, we'll discuss why that might be, what the Chadudi has to do with the Shevna Nechamta. And these people who try to swallow you, they're going to be distanced, they're going to be far away. It's not going to be that, you know, there are times where we were in Galus, but those who were swallowing us were around. Even if they weren't actively swallowing us, they were around and there was negativity. I think we're starting to feel that more in America, more in New York, perhaps even upstate New York. Rosh Hashanah, we play on her. I haven't felt this much, but I've been staying in camp. But the concept of there being mivalayah, the people who want to swallow you whole, and they're around, even if they're not actively doing it, that there's a feeling of I'm not wanted here. There's a feeling of they want to swallow me whole. There's a tension, that there's an elephant in the room. And over here it says v'rachaku, they're going to be distant. They're going to be far away. They're not even going to be there. Anybody who's going to be surrounding you, it's not going to be that you're going to be living in Eretz Yisrael and then there's going to be, you know, the Muslim quarter and the Christian. No, that's not going to be. Where, yeah, we're living side by side, but they really think that you killed their you killed their Lord, and they think you're infidels, and they think. No, that's not going to exist. They're going to be completely distanced. There's not even going to be that feeling of tension. All it's going to be is respect for the Am HaNivchar, respect for the Am Hashem, who stood by Hashem even when Hashem, when the situation looked like he was distanced. The Navi is going to speak more about that as we go on. So now we are in Chaf. Od Yomru Ve'aznayich B'nei Shikolayich Sar Li Amakom Gishan Li Va'esheva. So it's Ode is going to be still. It's going to be said. It's going to again be said. It's going to be heard or said into your ears. B'nei Shikolayich, the children of your bereavement, right? Bereavement is having lost children. Tsar li hamakom, the makom is tsar. It's dochek. There's not enough room here. Gishali ve'sheva. So make space for me, and I'm gonna like come close and make space for me, and I'm gonna settle here. I don't know if it means this literally, but it's going to feel packed, right? It's going to feel packed. We know that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos speaks about, in the fifth parak, speaks about certain miracles that took place in the Beis Hamikdash. Does anybody know the relevant ones to this pasuk? Certain miracles that took place. There are 10 miracles that took place daily in Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash. So there are two of them that I think are most relevant to this. Do you have one? Oh. So, okay, so I wasn't even thinking of that one, yeah. I'm saying in particular, specifically regarding space, but yeah, that's true, yeah. Okay, Omdim Stufim Mishtachim Ravachim. That in the base of Mikdash, it was packed, everyone said, no, there's no way when we get to the bowing part, we're going to have some problems, we're going to have some trouble. And then they would bow, and they all felt they had like 4x4 amos on their own, they had lots of space, good, and then more broadly, in the base of Mikdash, more broadly. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that no one ever said that Sarli that I have trouble finding lodging in Yerushalayim. No one had that problem. Somehow Yerushalayim was able to contain everybody. This is a pshat that's given in Eretz Tzvi in Chazal says. The Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi. Why? That a deer is so the way it's like. Its skin is like very, very tight and packs in a lot of meat. So much so that if you would like skin the deer, and then you try to put the flesh of the deer back into the skin, you wouldn't be able to fit it in there. That there's something, it's like somehow like miraculously contained within the skin. So meaning it holds so much more than practically makes sense for it to hold. And it's the same thing about Klal Yisrael, that it's a small land, and somehow, some way, it could contain all the Jews of the world. Everyone would be fine. And it's going to feel like a lot of people are there, but everyone's going to have room. Like, it's going to feel like, you know, sometimes we have this situation in the normal year in the dining room. Somehow there's a room. Okay, depending on how we arrange the wheelchairs, it might be a little more complicated to get around. But somehow there's room where we'll be there at orientation. And we see how many people fill the room at orientation. Then we say, when the campers come, it's impossible. And somehow there's miraculously room. Camp house is Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. So can move on. Not my own comment. I'm just quoting much much greater people. So this is the this is the this the statement, and I don't think it means it literally, that everyone's going to be saying it's tough, but there's going to be a feeling that everyone's back. Could be that, like, they're going to say, we need room, and they didn't. You know, that'll be fine. V'amart bilvaveich, and you will say in your heart, mi yolad li es eile, who bore these children to me? Yerushalayim's talking about the Jewish people return. V'ani shechula v'gamuda. I'm a shechula and a gamuda. Shechul, again, shikulayet. I am a bereaved mother. I lost my children. V'gamuda, and I'm this like sent off thing. It could be a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and it could be Tanis as well. I think says it's like a lashon of nida, something of like pushed away and alone. Gola v'sura, I'm exiled and like wayward or wandering. V'eila, and these, mi gidelhem, who raised them? Ani nisharti levadi, I'm left by myself. Eila, these people who are returning, efohem, where are they? Where are they coming from? So I'll just take a look at the Malbim here. Malbim just explains you, there's a lot of not repetition exactly, but a lot of it was very wordy. So the Malbim says that v'amarti v'aveich in pasuk chafal oz tishali shlosh shelos. So she's asking three questions. She is Yerushalayim, right? Madameh b'mashal isha shemesu l'kol b'nei avayisa gamuda v'achar kach b'lo baal. Right, so it's that a woman who loses all her children, and then she like becomes like a nida, and she doesn't get remarried. The golem in makom lamakom, the lomatzu menoach lekafra gla ki ain ish menasef osa habesa. So she's also exiled from her home, and she's wandering around, and even in the new locations that she goes, she can't really settle there. It's you know constant moving and wandering. And then all of a sudden, some people come from across the sea and they say, "Mom, we're here. What's for dinner?" Right? And they say, "Look, Mom, we have your eyes. Look, they proof we are your children." And then she asks, this mother asks the three questions that we have here. We have some, right, so these like, Eila, these, Eifohen, like, so he explains, Mielad lias Eila v'anisha kula v'gomuda. So, who bore these children to me? I'm Shakula and Galmuda. I am bereaved and single. She says, "Who are these children? I don't have any children. What do you mean? These are my you're coming saying you're my children, and you want chicken nuggets for dinner? I don't have any children, and I'm single. I haven't been married. I've been married recently. How did these children come to being? That's question number one. Then she says." Who raised them? She's asking about like who raised these children. Meaning like let's say it's possible that I'll just do this part outside. Let's say it's possible that I gave birth to children a long time ago and somehow I didn't realize. It makes more sense for a man than a woman. But let's say I forgot. And they're sorry. Okay, I'll grant that to you. But who raised them? How is it possible that they are adult functional members of society that are coming? How is it possible? Who raised them? Right, and then continues, "Hey, nani nisharti levadi elei fahim tisha amanias biyaselapo." How did they get here? Okay, let's say I raised them and now they're far off. How do they get back? How do they find me? How do they return to this place? And here this is so beautiful. We'll probably end with this. Maybe we'll go a little past this if we have time. So he says, "V'hanim shal," says the Malbim, "ki Yerushalayim haisa shekula." It was bereaved Yerushalayim. Again, who are the children of Yerushalayim? Klal Yisrael. Shekula. Why? Shenehargu b'neha because her children were killed. V'hochu shevi lifnei tsar. Umiyaz yasra gamuda. What happened was, Klal Yisrael were sent away. Some were killed, some were captives, but they were exiled, sent away. And Yerushalayim was by herself. She was gamuda. She was by herself and shekula. V'imkein tispale mi alabanim. How are there still children alive? How are there still Klal Yisrael? Yerushalayim, how are there children alive? Yerushalayim says, I thought everybody was killed and sent away forever to be killed in exile. She thought everybody was killed and captured. Shanis, the second question, Tishal, Gam im Nisharu az Ktsasnehem. Okay, so perhaps some of the Klal Yisrael managed to survive even after the massacre and holocaust of the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay, so maybe some survived and they were exiled off somewhere far away. Hello, how you golem umudulim umi gibim alpayim shana? Who possibly raised them for 2,000 years? The echlo safu v'tamu min balahos. How is it possible that they weren't completely decimated wherever they were? And I would say also, spiritually speaking, how is it possible? Yerushalayim hasn't seen us in 2,000 years. Yerushalayim says there is no way. If any of them survived, if any of Klal Yisrael survived the massacre of Churban Bayis Sheni at the hands of the Romans, if anybody survived, there is no way they're going to be from 2,000 years later. There's no way there's going to be Yiddishkeit 2,000 years later. It's not possible. Yerushalayim is just sitting there by herself. Shikula the Gamuda, she says, there's no way Klal Yisrael is going to survive this. There could be a remnant to survive physically. No one's going to survive spiritually. To be outside of your land, what nation is exiled from their land and retained their national identity? What nation didn't live in their country and retained their national identity? Even nations who live in their countries for thousands of years often lose major parts of their identity, if not their complete identity. Shlishis Tishan, the third question. Va'af imiskayimu ad ata. And even if they somehow were able to stay alive, and again I would add spiritually, wherever they are. Mi kibetz hizurehem umi otziyem chafshi v'yavim letzion. But who is able to gather them together and bring them to this point? And this is what's so incredible. This is like, the Malbim wrote this, in the 1800s. What we're seeing now, a return to Eretz Yisrael. And especially in the last 5-6 months where the Aliyah has Aliyah and applications for Nefesh B'Nefesh have tripled, budget, whatever it is, it's gone up. Jewish people are returning to Eretz Yisrael. We're physically alive, that there are actually physical descendants alive of the Jewish people from the times of the Beis Hamikdash, first, the second, that were alive, that's a chiddush. Bigger chiddush, that there are Jews sitting right here, learning Torah before davening, and about to do a day full of chesed and avodas Hashem. That's a really big chiddush. That not only are there living descendants of the Jewish people from the Churban Bayis Sheni, there are living descendants who are living the Torah. And even more than that, that there are members of Klal Yisrael actually returning to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael will be among them. Actually returning to Eretz Yisrael. What a chiddush. Yerushalayim, the Shikula, the Gamuda, the Gola Vesura, who's exiled and couldn't figure out anything and was wandering constantly, is amazed, is stunned that there's such a reality that Klal Yisrael could be thriving and existing Alpayim Shana 2,000 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. Remember, Yishayahu al-pi-pshat, Yishayahu was talking about, he's prophesying about the Churban Bayis Rishon, but the truth is, now in hindsight, we know he's also prophesying about the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's how prophecy works. It's cool like that, It talks about future things. So this is incredible to see this. How is this possible? Who gathered them? Ela, these, Ephohim, how are they here? And we'll just read the next four words, and we'll learn it more in depth tomorrow. Next words, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. That's going to be the answer. Ko Amar Hashem Elokim. So the word of God, that this is going to be the case. And for us to be, when you're reading this, when I'm looking at the page, right? Rashi, Tzivos David, even Ezra, Ma'ari Karal, Radak, when they learned this, they didn't see any kium of it. Individuals going to Eretz Yisrael living there, they didn't see a kium like what we're seeing today. It's incredible. It's incredibly special to be living at this time where we're seeing this. We're seeing Klal Yisrael return to Eretz Yisrael, a kium of the words of Yeshayahu to some degree, and we're a little bit less surprised because we're a little bit jaded because we've, you know, like, since we were young, we know you can go to Eretz Yisrael whenever you want, you get money for it, you can go to Eretz Yisrael whenever you want, you could have a bar mitzvah there, you could have a nachas tefillin, you could have a wedding. You know, there are things in Eretz Yisrael, you can go for the year, go for two, go for the summer. We for us, it's like we take it for granted. It was not so pushit. So we're a little bit less surprised than Yerushalayim, but if the Rashi, the Radak, if everybody on the page would see it, their minds would be blown, and we should try to be sensitive to that as we're learning their words. To be sensitive to that and appreciate it, the best is Hashem, we should be zocha to the full redemption soon.